We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We got fights in baseball. We got Fab to talk about. We got a great Astros-Yankees series to chat about, all coming up next. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Scott Jensen, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate or review the podcast, we do greatly appreciate that. Helps people find us, helps people locate the podcast, both the audio version and this video version you may have to be watching now. So we would appreciate that. Jeff, really good weekend in baseball. But first of all, how is everything with you?
It's a really good weekend in youth soccer as well. Nice. We won our last tournament of the tournament season, so went out on style, San Juan Capistrano, fun tournament. Good to go out on top, so that was good.
You guys are a freaking dynasty. It's you guys and the Warriors are the dynasties of 2022.
Oh, wait, are we throwing around the word dynasty? Bill Simmons might not approve.
I'll let you know how much I care if Bill Simmons approves or not.
But yeah, exactly.
I'm going six finals in 8 years as a dynasty, and I don't really care what anybody else thinks.
But. Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, I mean, Bill Simmons from Boston doesn't think it. Yeah, okay,
right. Weird. Hey, drafted 8 of the players on the team. I'm going to go ahead and go with dynasty.
Exactly. Yeah,
but you guys are monsters, man. Every time I log on Sunday night, you guys won some other tournament.
We had a great run, 6 out of 7 tournaments.
That's awesome.
One loss the whole season, so starting back in March. So fun ride. It was a great time. Takes my mind off of stupid Blake Snell too. So what he did to my man Bryce Harper.
We're going to get there. Do you guys have like a superstar player that kind of carries the load in your team, or you're kind of more of a everybody contributes kind of team?
Everybody contributes. Right. I think we have like 15 girls on the team, and I think 13 of them have all scored. So it's pretty cool.
Do you have anyone that's like going to play like super high level D1, any superstar kind of things?
We have one girl that who knows might. Okay. So it's the cool thing is, so, you know, it's U16. So it's birth year 2006, 2007. We have some eighth graders on our team. And one of our best players is an eighth grader, that probably has the highest ceiling.
Yeah. And highest ceiling. I love it.
We actually played up in a tournament. We played a U19 level. And you guys just got beat by a bunch of eighth graders. So that was cool. It was only because their sideline was a little chirpy. So felt like especially it. Good. But I mean, these are great kids. That's the best part, too, is they share the ball. They play well together. They get along. It's parents are super nice. It's a fun ride.
Yeah, that's awesome there. So jump into the baseball news. You kind of alluded to it with your Blake Snell comment. Biggest news over the weekend was Bryce Harper fractured his left thumb. Obviously, a pitch up and in from Snell. He obviously reacted really quickly that he was pissed off. You know, he knew he was hurt. You could tell he knew he was hurt. And then like 5 seconds later, I realized that Snell wasn't trying to do it on purpose. Kind of they apologized back to each other. Snell apologized. But fantasy-wise, I mean, this is a monster. They, Bryce Harper's been awesome. I think there was a stat over his last 162 games. He's like 44 home runs. One of the best players in baseball, a first or second round draft pick. Unfortunately, I know you have him on one of your main event teams. How crushed are you by this one?
Oh, massively crushed. My better of my two main event teams, and I'm also in competing, going for in the XFL, the league that, you know, it's a hybrid, you know, keeper/dynasty and OBP league too. And so he's massive there. And I've made all these trades to go for it this year. So I'm kind of pot committed. I also lost Sal Perez this week in that league, so it's been a tough week.
Jeez, that's a brutal week, right there.
And I had just traded for Perez too, so that was.
I actually remember that trade we talked about a couple weeks ago, buying low on him.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a rough week. I'm pod committed, so I'm gonna keep making trades to go for it in that league. We'll see what I can do going forward. But yeah, it's a killer. Now it's indefinite absence, so I'm not dropping him yet in the main. You know, if it's 10 weeks, though, I think it's probably drop city. But
I think we'll probably know Monday or Tuesday when he said he was like going to L.A. to get. I guess he's staying in L.A. or staying in Southern California because they were in San Diego. But
yeah,
staying to get checked out. I'm assuming he's probably going to Curlin Job to get all the high level checkout. But
yeah,
you worry if it's super long that maybe he decides to do the other arm at the same time or the elbow at the same time, too, because he's had that problem. But
right.
If it's 6 weeks, I think obviously you keep him. He comes back, you know, August 15th or something. You obviously want the last 6-7 weeks. I mean, it's been huge. Hitting 320, 15 home runs, 9 stolen bases, almost 50 runs in RBI. Just ain't replacing that anywhere.
No. We picked up Tyrone Taylor. He was available in our league. So that you got a heavy burden there, dude. And that we also lost Brantley
in that league. He was like 94% rostered, and he was available in your league and my league. So that must have been the only two. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, so we, you know, let me ask you this. So I convinced you to go more after Tyrone Taylor than Juan Yepez. What's your take on that?
I would have gone Taylor over Yepez also. I think when Tyler O'Neill comes back, then maybe we go back to Yepez losing some playing time, losing some ABs there. With Tyrone Taylor, they DFA'd Lorenzo Cain last week. I just think that it's his job to run with. He's got like 3 home runs in the last 8 days or something. I like him as a player. I picked him up in one of my main events too. I had to rank him, Oscar Gonzalez, Jaron Duran, and Jake Myers. So there were like 4 outfielders of him in that league. I ended up with Gonzalez and Taylor. I was dead in outfield, so I needed a couple live bodies. I had Manny Margot, who went in the 60-day IL, and Trevor Larnach, who went in the IL too. So I like Taylor a lot. I like that park to hit. I like that lineup. I think he's a pretty good player that, you know, I mean, he ain't replacing your Bryce Taylor, your Bryce Harper stats, but I think he's a very rosterable guy in a 15-teamer that I'm going to end up playing most weeks.
Yeah. We also had, you mentioned, you know, Myers also in our waterfall. Yeah. But you know, we got Taylor first. So we went Taylor. In fact, we went Taylor, Yepez, Myers, Vierling, Lane Thomas. We had to have an outfielder. We were desperate about
it. I'd go Taylor Myers pretty high above everybody else. I guess you like Yepez a little more, but I would have had Yepez. That would have been a clear top three, though, is those three guys right there.
Yeah.
We will get into Fab in a second. I want to talk a little bit about the I thought the Astros-Yankees series this weekend was probably the best series of the season so far. It was 4 games. These teams obviously don't like each other. There's all the, you know, garbage can gate from the past. These teams don't like each other. But these games were great. There were the Yankees that won in walk-offs on Thursday and Sunday. The Astros had a combined no-hitter on Saturday. Just really like great games, high level games. You got great players. There's a lot of good pitching in the series too. I feel like a lot of these series we get, you know, you don't get great pitching. We had the Gerrit Cole and Christian Javier matchup on Saturday was just electric. I mean, Javier was as good as I've ever seen him. And Cole was great matching him pretty much pitch for pitch. It was just a really fun series of high level baseball. And I realize, you know, I'm an A's fan. You're a Reds fan. Our teams are dead and horrible. But I realized this weekend that, you know, watching some of these games, you realize why I love baseball. And I've got to shift from that frustration to watching good series. Now this was the best one of the year.
Yeah, I thought that it was fantastic. You know, on Thursday night it was that and the NBA draft at the same time, so it was kind of like I had both TVs rolling. But I spent more time with the volume on the Astros Yankees game. Crazy finish in that one there, and then seeing the Astros just bounce back and have 2 good wins. Of course, they lost today, but
both these teams are really good.
Yeah, they're really, really good. Also, but Dodgers-Braves was a good series, too.
Great
series.
Yeah, it was, and the game tonight was great, too. I mean, the Dodgers scored 2 off Kenley. Clay's brother had a big hit in the ninth to tie the game. It was kind of fun to see. Trace Thompson just off Olsen's glove, too, which is kind of weirdly fitting with the way that series has gone. But, you know, Dodgers are tough. They just, you know, go away. They look dead in the water sometimes, and all of a sudden they win that game. It was a big guy. They won 2 out of 3 in that series. It was a really good road series win.
Yeah, no Mookie, no problem. But actually, I mean, they're scrambling.
Problem for me, but yeah, apparently not for the Dodgers.
Well, and it is for the Dodgers too. I mean, they went out and got Trace Thompson. They went and, you know, acquired him this week just because they knew they wanted to go platoon out in the outfield there. Alvarez is a good DH. You know, that's got to change. Now, the Dodgers, they have a prospect, and I'm going to I want to make sure I get the name right, but he's been playing a lot of outfield this in the last week. He's usually a third baseman, and bear with me, and I should know better, but my mind's just not wired right to get names. But they might have a solution in the near future, because again, we talked about this a little bit off air, but Mookie's not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah.
So that's something to watch for. Miguel Vargas is who I was thinking of here. It's a third base prospect, but he's logging time in AAA in the outfield.
He's a Cuba guy, right?
I believe so.
Not drafted, right? Signed from Cuba.
Yeah. And, well, no, I think he was. Well, he signed with the Dodgers in 2017.
Yeah.
Stud prospect. He's crushing it at AAA right now. 866 OPS as a 22-year-old. But now he's changing positions. So this is, you know, pretty obvious that they're going to use him in the short term, the outfield. Now, Justin Turner's kind of shaky right now, too. Probably, you know, maybe could be his last year. So they could move Vargas back to third eventually. But, you know, I think that might be something, because I think they're kind of tapped out in terms of, like, big financial resources to apply to a problem right now. At least tapped out in terms of they don't really want to pay the punitive measures of the luxury tax.
Yeah, the thing that's nice about Vargas, too, big power without striking out, too. He was like 15% strikeout rate last year in Double A, 16 home runs in 83 games. It seems like the Dodgers, whenever they need somebody, just call somebody up as a stud, which is kind of frustrating if you're not a Dodgers fan. But I mean, the game tonight was great. Spencer Strider looked awesome, and Tony Gonsolin pitched well again, and he just gets guys out. He doesn't look like Strider does on the mound, but it was a fun matchup. Just two guys that, you know, maybe were kind of not big names coming into the season, that both step up pretty big. Strider's slider was nasty tonight. He threw some pitches that are, like, just unhittable.
Yeah, I was listening to the game on the drive back from the tournament, and you know, Gonsolin not wanting out of the game there at the end.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I like that. Give me a pitcher like that every time.
Yeah, and of course he was right. I mean, they got out of it because Muncy made a nice play at third base. But you could see that he wanted to keep going there a little bit more. I love Gonsolin. I mean, he's been a lifesaver on one of my teams. So
yeah,
wish I had more of them. Both.
It's funny, we talk about the Yankees and Astros, you know, splitting that series. We talked about the Red Sox a couple times, staying hot again. They won every game this week. They've won 7 in a row now. They're still 11 behind the Yankees because the Yankees are otherworldly, but they're putting a lot of distance on wild card. I think it's very clear that the Red Sox we saw in the first month are not who the Red Sox are now.
Right.
They still need to figure out some bullpen, but Tanner Houck, you know, 6 saves now. He's looking really good tonight. They still need to figure out some seventh and eighth stuff, but Nick Pavetta's been huge. This is a real legit, really good team that we thought was maybe bad in April.
Yeah, and they, like you said, they've caught fire. They've already passed the Rays and the Jays, and they're in good shape now. So all of a sudden, there's more teams that are vying for these wild card spots, but it's still the AL East, which is kind of funny. But Cleveland's still hanging around. They just had the misfortune of running into Boston this weekend, but they were on fire prior to that. And the division's obviously still in play there too for them. But Boston's are going to be without, they're going to be without Tanner Houck, remember, for this, the start of this series against the Jays.
And Jaron Duran, if you picked him up, he's not going to be going to Toronto either.
I did not know that about Duran. So, that'll be tough too. So do you try to go get Matt Strom for these three games, or what do you just ignore it?
I saw a note from Todd Zola that he was watching the game at the time that they kind of made it seem like it was going to be John Schreiber closing out games for this three game set.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll mix and match, but that was, it sounded like Todd was actually watching the game, and that's the announcers were talking about. So obviously Todd knows what he's talking about. I'm going to go with that. I actually looked at Schreiber a couple of weeks. I had him like in my waterfall, as you would call it, or as James Anderson, you always give him the credit, would call it. I think Schreiber may, if you need saves in a daily league, you're probably going to Yahoo Friends and Family right now and picking them up as we speak. But if you need saves, Schreiber or any of those guys, it's going to be no Houck for the first three games.
Yep, that's right. And you know, Waka's getting a start in that series. It's Siebold getting a spot start, and then Waka and Pivetta. Michael Waka, 2.34 ERA, 6-1 this year. He's not striking guys out, but you know, they're out pitching their peripherals. Todd Zola mentioned this. You know, David Bush, there's their pitching coach, and he's a out pitch. You know, he was the opposite. He had great peripherals and underperformed from those peripherals, but. Yep. Although home run rate is not a peripheral, I mean, I think that was the real lesson here.
I'm still waiting for the bomb to drop on Waka. I feel like it's gonna be a couple of implosions at some point here, but sure has helped teams a lot so far. But It's funny you mentioned the AL East. The Rays are sneaky, really, really bad on offense, especially lately. They are they're bottom five in the majors in OPS right now, and I know they're even worse in June. They've been really, really bad on offense.
Yeah, well, no Wander Franco, no Manny Margot, no Kiermaier. Rosarena has been a big, pretty big disappointment. You know, less of a disappointment recently, but I mean, look at their lineup. I mean,
of course, it feels like we always say that, and then in September they're right there, right?
Yeah, but it isn't a good lineup. But you know, then again, the Pirates cure a lot of ills, so they got the sweep of the Pirates this weekend that helped.
Taylor Walls is the third most at bats on the team, and he's brutal. So there's his slugging's 272. Like that's really hard.
Slugging.
Yeah.
Slugging.
Not hitting. His slugging is 272. His OBP is 250. OPS is 522. That's a brutal offensive line.
He's not saving that many runs defensively. He's like the Martin Maldonado of the infield.
I was just going to go pure Mark Belanger on him.
Yeah. That's a nice comp. I like that one.
Just date myself completely.
I mean, just bat him ninth for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, get him fewer plate appearances, not more.
In the AL Central, I want to ask you about what the White Sox have just been an absolute mess of freaking injuries so far this year. They just every time you turn around, someone on the White Sox is hurt. You know, Eloy's out. There was a quote yesterday from Tony La Russa that is like the top five guys in his offense. He's asking him not to run hard. I don't know if you saw that quote, but he said he doesn't want fans to get mad at him because he's instructing them not to run hard, which is a weird thing to say out loud publicly. But
yeah,
they're a minus 51 run differential, the 34-37. We're going to talk about Lucas Giolito later on in the podcast. He's been just brutal, especially lately. Has pitched really badly against good teams. I think Houston's gotten him twice. Maybe Toronto got him once. Do you think they're going to hang? Do you think that you think they should fire Tony La Russa? What's going on with the White Sox here?
I think they should have fired Tony La Russa a year and a half ago.
But the day before they hired him?
The day that they found out that there was the subsequent DUI that came out before even it started. I mean, that was enough right there. They did finally, you know, mightily beat the Orioles once 4-3 there. So,
we had to hang on for that Dylan Cease win. That was sketchy in the ninth there. Jose Abreu literally like had the ball's glove and dropped it running to first. And then
Braven
put a couple of guys on, but Dylan Cease, man, he was nasty today. 13 strikeouts, one earned run. It was, he's every fifth day they have a pretty good chance with him, but boy, they're ugly a lot of the time.
Yeah, and got a comment here from about Tony La Russa. He's Tony La Russa is buddies with the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf. Not just the GM.
Even better than the GM.
Yeah, it's the owner. And the owner, like, long ago regretted firing him the first time and, like, had to rectify that. And because, you know, 25 years later, he's still the same guy, right? No, come on, guys. Just don't.
Yeah. It's all very strange. I forget. I think it was the Baltimore announcers were talking about the quote from La Russa, and they're like, that's just really strange. But the NL Central has become a two-team race, but kind of a fun one. We got the Brewers and the Cardinals. Brewers have a one-game lead on St. Louis. They took that lead today. But you know, the other three teams in Central are legit terrible. Pittsburgh, Chicago, and the Reds. Sorry to our Reds, but they are bad.
They're wretched.
Do you have a strong preference in this division? How do you think this works out? Because they're two interesting and fun teams, the Brewers and Cardinals. I know you don't like either of them, they're rivals in your division, but the Cardinals especially, plus 60 run differential. Jack Flaherty got hurt again today.
I was just going to bring that up. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And it's a shoulder stiffness. We'll see if they make it sound as, you know, benign as possible, but it's the shoulder and it's
just throwing shoulders a pitcher. Like that's going to be time again is key. That's a good point. I mean, it's going to be time, and Cardinals usually figure stuff out, but like he just got back. I think it was his second start off the IL, and that's a brutal loss for them.
It is. I like how the Cardinals have been aggressive this year in promoting their prospects. They promoted Gorman. They promoted, they've called it Liberatore for some starts. He's probably going to have to get some more now that Flaherty seems like he's going to be down. I mean, it could be nothing, but it's highly unlikely to be nothing. I think it's going to be something. And that I feel like, you know, they're going to be fine getting in the playoffs. The question is, you know, are they going to have that top end pitcher once they get there? They've gotten great mileage out of some guys, but they have a staff full of guys that don't miss bats. Dakota Hudson, Wainwright, even Michaelis. Michaelis has been phenomenal this year.
Yes, but he's not going out there striking guys out. You're right.
Right. You know, they've gotten nothing out of, you know, Steven Matz has been hurt and bad. So that's kind of amazing. Yeah, I think they're starter short. I think their bullpen's probably pretty decent. Their lineup's really good though.
Pretty damn good Frankie Montas destination if they yeah. wanted to get part of the market, but he could certainly make them a more interesting playoff team for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just looking right now, I mean, they're a game behind the Brewers. They're tied for, I guess they're the last wild card. They're not tied.
Are there three wild cards now? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a half game ahead of the Giants right now.
Freaking Giants. They never go away. They have not been playing well though.
No, they lost 2 out of 3 to our Reds this weekend. So
yeah, the Reds smoked Escalfani today. That was ugly.
The disco two step, which is a dance movie you don't want to emulate.
It was rough.
Yeah, it's the Elaine Benes dance step there. You don't want that one.
It's just
two wretched starts this week.
Yeah, it's funny. In one of my online leagues, I picked up him and Jose Urquidy. You know, Jose Urquidy was pretty much through two gems, and Descafani wiped that fully out because it was bad.
Bad.
Well, let's jump into week 13, I think we're at now. Just look at a few schedules here. We have three teams with 8 games. We have Cleveland, Minnesota, and Toronto with big, big schedules. So they each have a doubleheader in there, big 8-game schedules. But we also have 4 teams with 5 games. So there's a lot of disparity this week. Arizona, the Giants, the Mets, and the Tigers each have 5 games. So if you're playing a daily league, you know, that's a lot of movement there. If you're playing a bi-weekly league, something like the NFBC, like moving guys in and out, it's going to be big there. You have a lot of guys with some 2-game spots in there. And then obviously the 8-game teams, you have some 5-game half weeks, which are obviously large.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, and here injuries are stacking up. Can you the tough part is, do you have the flexibility to take advantage of the schedule, kind of mix and match enough so you can bench the 5-game players and the marginal 5-game players and find starters on the 18th. And the other thing too is sometimes tricky is like the marginal 18 players on the 8-game teams. Yep. Are going to be like playing like one game of the two doubleheaders, right.
A lot of guys, a lot of those, very few guys are actually going to play the 8, but it'd be nice if you have 5 and half week, you're going to get 4, which is pretty big right there. And I usually get rid of the 2s, like unless it's a top 5, top 5 round pick. I usually, the 2 gamers is just so, the margins are so thin there that I try and at least get a 3 or a 4 if I can get rid of some 2 gamers.
Yep.
I mean, look at Arizona, like even Christian Walker's been great, but I'd probably find somebody else to play for his too, that sort of thing. Alec Thomas, David Peralta, those kind of guys that aren't, automatic starters. I'm not taking out Mike Trout in a 2-game week, but anybody kind of beyond that top maybe 70 or so, I'm usually taking out.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good philosophy.
We have some good offensive schedule this week. I really like Seattle. I guess we should talk about Seattle and the Angels today for a second first, though. Like that was a wild, like usually baseball fights are so bad. The bullpen's running. Everybody kind of, maybe you get someone shoving someone, but they're all kind of talking out there. This is like a real fight. There were actually like punches thrown. I saw JP Crawford like kind of throw a couple punches over by the screen. I think he's going to get suspended. But Jesse Winker, the Angels threw behind Julio Rodriguez. I guess they're upset about someone almost hitting Mike Trout last night, or that actually hit Mike
Trout? Yeah, up and in on Trout. I think it was Eric Hansen that did it. It wasn't even purposeful, but it was just like, if you're going to throw inside, you don't miss that badly near the head.
I love you in old school and call him Eric Hansen. I think it's Eric Swanson.
Swanson, you're right.
They had an Eric Hansen though, right?
They did. I remember that. My brain is just off tonight.
I think I have a lot of his rated rookie cards.
Yeah.
You think they're worth anything now?
I you should find out. Yeah, now that I just pumped it up right there, that huge endorsement. I mean,
I'm going to eBay now because the market will never be hotter.
No, absolutely not.
So they threw up an inning at Trout, then they threw behind Julio Rodriguez in the first inning, and then Winker came up in the second and drilled him in the leg. I think the Mariners are mad. They thought the Angels used an opener just to throw at people.
Well, yeah, they announced it last night, like late last night. Oh, we're going to use this opener instead of Suarez. It's Andrew. It's Wants. Andrew, is that right? Andrew Wants, and he'd never started before. And he said, I read the MLB.com, the gamer on it, and he's like, it was sweaty. I haven't pitched the day before. Oh, Dookie, come on.
I haven't pitched the day before. Wow.
Maybe he meant like as a major leaguer, but.
that's an amazing line right there.
Please.
He's pitched 11 games. I'd have to go look, but there's a Sunday game there. I bet you he's pitching the day at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost as bad as the Pirates saying that O'Neill Cruz needed to learn how to pinch hit before they called him up after the purported, the estimated Super 2 deadline. I mean, but it's about that much face value they can take it in there.
That's a horrible quote. So Winker got hit and seemed like he was just kind of looking at Wants like, what's your problem? And then went over to the dugout and he seemed like he was like jawing with Phil Nevin. And then it just all hell broke loose. There were some punches thrown. They were actually fighting. There were guys down on the ground. Then it, like, broke out again on the side. About as physical as a baseball fight you actually see. We're going to see suspensions. I think Winker will probably get a game. He gave the finger to the fans coming off the field. I think he's going to probably get a game or two for that. J.P. Crawford's going to get a couple games. I'm sure Wants will get some games. They'll be able to make the appeal so he can only pitch in night games, hopefully, for the rest of the season. But I tried to watch that. Julio Rodriguez was pissed, and he kept trying to instigate it, but I don't think he actually threw any punches at anybody that I saw, at least.
But he got ejected, too.
He got ejected. There were, eight guys that got ejected. Rysel Iglesias threw sunflower seeds on the field.
That was hilarious.
I don't know what he's doing, but
He got mad because he goes, I didn't throw a punch, and somehow I got ejected from this game.
Okay. So yeah, I just don't – the sunflower seed, you usually get, the Gatorade cooler out there, but the sunflower seed bucket was a crate of sunflower seed bags. It was pretty funny. But Seattle does have a good schedule this week. Hopefully all their guys are on the field. They have 7 games at home, the 3 against Baltimore, 4 against Oakland. Got to love that for pitching matchups. Toronto, we mentioned, is the 8-gamer. They have 3 – they're all at home, too. That should be a good week for Toronto bats. Mm-hmm. They do have Boston, who you mentioned, not the best Boston pitchers going this week. And then 5 against Tampa Bay. So some decent pitchers there, too. But 8 games at home should be a pretty nice schedule there. And then Minnesota, 5 at Cleveland is pretty nice, and then 3 against Baltimore. So the Twins were a little bit quiet over the weekend. They did score 6 runs today, but a little quiet yesterday, I think it was. But they should get those bats going, too.
Yep. I'm looking at that Toronto-Tampa series there. They do draw Sugar Shane McClanahan in that series. So,
he's a Cy Young right now, right, if there was a vote?
I think so.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think so. He's awesome.
He is.
He really is awesome.
The real question is Clay Holmes second?
Maybe. He might be. Verlander.
Yeah, probably. It probably is a starter, but man, Clay Holmes is getting some votes.
Yeah. Do they still do Fireman of the Year or something like that?
I think that it's not Rolaids anymore, because I don't have Rolaids as a company anymore, but they do some sort of reliever of the year. But he's losing his job this week, it sounds like.
Be perfect for that same main event team. Ridiculous.
Oh, you guys have Holmes and no Chapman, right? I couldn't disagree with this one more, but it sure sounds like Chapman's going to get the job back as soon as he's done with his rehab assignment.
Well, I was reading that they're going to mix and match.
Oh, are they? Okay.
But I didn't read it this weekend, though. So
I thought I saw a quote from Boone that said he's our 9th inning guy when he comes back. But that could have been a tweet. It could have been a tweet, someone's opinion, but I thought I saw
it. No, you're probably right. You're right.
Apparently, Jeff, your cat opened the blinds behind you.
Oh, yeah, she's being a real pain in the butt right now.
Our friend Anthony Gialdi, it freaked him out a little bit. So.
Yeah, because if you look at the angle, you can barely see the cat. I'm shifting the wrong way. But, yeah, she goes on the – she's just like a real hassle right now. She finally went on the bed, but I don't know. She's wigged out right now. We are she usually hangs out with my daughter, Erin, all the time, and we are gone this weekend. So she's like all over the place right now.
A little abandonment issues.
Yeah.
So let's jump into Fab here. I thought it was a way more interesting week for hitters than pitchers in Fab. I think as we've seen, I think Jeff Zimmerman wrote his article again for FanGraphs this week. If you don't have your starters set, good luck this week. Starters are really tough to find. But let's jump into the hitters. There are a lot of interesting names. First is one we talked about 35 times last year, because that's about how many times he got demoted, as Edward Olivares with the Royals. He got called back up off the IL this week when Sal Perez went on the IL, hit 2 home runs. He hit 8th on Friday, and everybody's like, what are you doing hitting behind Ryan O'Hearn? And then he hit 2 home runs on Saturday, or 2 home runs on Friday, and then they went 0-for-4 on Saturday. And they sat him today. All he did get in the game.
Of course they did. They're going to send him down tomorrow, right. I'm sure.
And I figured, demotion's coming tomorrow. But this is someone that, I hope he just sticks. We've said that 100 times. But, his fantasy stats are really, really interesting. I mean, he stole 35 bags in 2019. In 2021, last year in AAA, 15 home runs, 12 stolen bases, only 66 games, hit .313. You look up and down at his stats, doesn't strike out a lot. This is someone that I just hope we get every day at bats for a month. The Royals have at bats available here. I just hope they play him, because I want to see if he's actually good or not. And I just, I don't know if he can do it at the major league level, but he sure has done it at the minor league level.
Yeah. And of course I missed his best game, right? I have him in a couple of places. I couldn't activate him in time, but
right.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's sweet. And, you know, I'd like to see him get a little bit of a run here. And the thing is, Melendez is going to be behind the plate now with Sal Perez out. So that creates that opening. But I'm sure, like, when they call up the Italian breakfast, they'll probably send Oliveras down just for old time's sake.
Are they going to call up Vinny? Because, I mean, like, what are you waiting for at this point?
Learning how to pinch hit.
I suppose. I mean, if many at bats, you can get Carlos Santana and Ryan O'Hearn from a non-contending team. It's something you should do, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It makes no. I mean, the Royals are so done, and they're playing Michael Taylor. They're playing Carlos Santana. I'd love to be able to explain it, but I really can't.
Yeah, how can you?
Isaac Paredes in Tampa Bay had quite a week for himself. He had 5 home runs this week, including a 3 home run game against the Yankees. He came in the game with 5, hit 3 in that game, left the week with 10. Second and third base.
It's Isak, by the way.
Oh, is it Isak? Well, there you go. See, I learned something new every day. I appreciate that.
I had Chris Welsh on Thursday. You know, I was listening to their podcast, and they made a point of emphasis on that. I think actually James knew that too, but it's
Isak. All right.
It's Isak. It's phonetic.
I like to know these things. That's good.
Yep.
Big week this week. Three hits today. 5 home runs this week. Second and third eligible is really nice in NFBC leagues. Yep. Pretty much across the board, any leagues, it's similar eligibility there. How do you feel about Paredes going forward? My big concern with him was at bats in Tampa Bay are always kind of up in the air a little bit, but sure raking this week.
Yeah, and you know, the kinetic chain of injuries has kind of opened things up a little bit there Lau's still out. Yeah. The 2 outfield injuries means Brujan's playing a lot of outfield, which means someone else has to play second base, which means third base is pretty much open for him right now. And that's the way it's worked out. He was a prospect at one point in time. He was a shortstop actually. At one point I had him in like the RotoWire staff keeper league, like 4 years ago as a prospect when he got traded from the Cubs to the Tigers. But I gave up, waiting for him, but he's like 22 still. I mean, he's 22, 23 years old. I picked him up in an AL only home league on Thursday. So at least I got one homer out of that explosion. Nice. But, any port in a storm, he's got some pop, obviously. He's got an opportunity. It's just hitting in that ballpark still, I think a lot of hitters really struggle there. They'll get out on the road. They'll go win some games on the road, but it's a guy that gets you through.
Since we're talking multi-position guys in the infield, I want to jump over to the Texas Rangers. Josh H. Smith is playing a bunch now. He started 3 last 4 games. They sent down Ezekiel Duran to AAA this morning. It seems like Josh Smith is going to get a run. He's hit, 7th and 8th in a couple of games. I think he hit leadoff today, though, but he was 0 for 5. Another guy who's interesting fantasy-wise, he had 8 stolen bases already in the minors. And he seems like a really good batting average guy in the minors. Doesn't strike out a lot. Were you in on any Josh Smith with his shortstop and third base eligibility getting called up here?
I wasn't, but it's worth looking at. I mean, he's a prospect. He's in our top 200-300.
Okay.
Duran, I don't think Duran deserved that demotion. Well, actually, I'm looking at it a little closer. 2 walks, 17 Ks. Maybe he did. But he'll be back. I don't think he was that bad, but. At the same time, he's probably, needs to control the strike zone a little bit better. They claimed they got Steven Dugar in the Willie Calhoun deal.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of like they need to make room on the 40 man, need to make room on the active roster because Dugar doesn't have any more options, if I recall correctly. So someone had to go.
Is it really Dugar?
Is it Duggar or Dugar?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. You said it like you were very certain of it, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, you can fake anything if you say
it. I've always called him Duggar, but I don't know. So outfield was interesting. There was a lot of guys. We talked about Oliveras, but there were some other names. Jaron Duran in Boston leading off. I think he's led off like 9 of 10 games. He's had a couple stolen bases yesterday, hitting really well. We mentioned earlier he's not going to be eligible to play this week because he's not going to Toronto with them due to the COVID restrictions. Yeah. Do you think Duran is finally up to play now that he's had some success? Obviously, Keegan Hernandez will be back here at some point. I think Christian Arroyo will be back at some point. But it seems like this time getting called up, maybe the tides have turned a little bit, and it's Duran's job to lose now.
Yeah, it looks like, Hernandez had the setback earlier this week. So
Jr. is horrendous.
Jackie Bradley Jr. has like this massive home road split. And I was listening to the broadcast the other day. I think it was Cleveland's broadcast. team that talked about it, that Jackie Bradley Jr. has astigmatism and got new contacts, but somehow he sees the ball a lot better at home than in away. Now, granted, his home OPS is still a massive 777. It's not, you know.
Right.
But on the road, it's 374 OPS.
Wow, he's at a .143 on the road.
Yeah. That's an improvement then, because he must have had a hit today because he was 137 going into today. So, yeah.
That is, but, I mean, we're talking – we're looking at, what is this, 217 plate appearances. He has one home run and two stolen bases on the year. He scored 11 – he scored 11 runs all year long.
Yeah. I mean, he is batting ninth, but still, come on.
Yeah, still. It's still a good lineup. Every time you get on base, you get those guys at the top hitting. 11 runs is almost impossible. I just hope they give Duran a run. I think they're a lot more interesting team with him leading off than they are with any other situation there.
Yep.
What about in Houston? Did you guys do anything looking at Jake Meyers? He got called up. Interesting guy from a fantasy perspective. Little bit of speed, a little bit of power. They sent Chaz McCormick down, so it seems like he's going to get a run in center field. They just haven't found the guy. They had McCormick. They had Jose Siri. They sent him down essentially because he watched his home run too long, and Dusty was pissed off at him, is what it seemed like, at least to me. You know, publicly made a comment about the fact that he watched his home run. I wish he had ran, is what he had said. But I was interested in Meyers this week. He was in 2021. He was 16 home runs, 10 stolen bases in AAA, and hit .343. Got called up and kind of held his own. I mean, I know the strikeout rate was too high, and that always happens your first time around. But hit .260, six home runs, three stolen bases in 49 games. You know, looked overmatched in the strikes out, but like kind of held his own stat wise. 28 RBIs there. He's an interesting name to me if they just kind of let him play. That lineup's really, really good. If he can, even if he hits like seven, that's a pretty good spot.
What if, yeah, but he could hit ninth.
He could hit ninth too.
Now, my first reaction is taking the L on Chaz McCormick. I have hit in a couple of places. I kind of advocated for him a little bit. And obviously it didn't happen. It looked like there were moments. He had his moments. But that also contributes to why I was a little circumspect on Meyers. He was on my list. He was definitely below a couple of other guys, though, just because I don't know how long this is going to last. Yeah. He has to kind of take the ball and run with it.
They seem to clear the deck for him, though. They got rid of the guys that could have platooned with him. Right. So maybe they give him a run here. But I was in on him. I was not huge bidding. I was kind of in the 30s on him. But I think there's enough fantasy goodness there to be interested in, especially in a good lineup. You mentioned you liked Tyrone Taylor above him. I think we were talking about that off air. But Tyrone Taylor, a lot of time. Now they've DFA'd Lorenzo Cain. What did you like about Taylor that put him in your bidding?
Well, I mean, first of all, they cleared the deck for him.
Yeah.
Permanently.
Yep.
No, which I think that's one of the differences there. Power. I mean, good power from Tyrone Taylor. He's had like three or four homers in the last week. That's useful. You know, batting average is going to be a little bit of a risk. I get that there. That's definitely something.
But like 240 risk, not like 195 risk.
Yeah, probably. He's hitting .231 right now.
Yeah.
So I thought he might run a little bit more than he does, but he hasn't done that at the big league level.
He has not. Did a little bit in the minors. When I watch him play, I think he's got some pop. He's kind of an eye test guy for me. I like. I just like that they DFA'd Kane for him. It looks like he's going to play every day. I like him in that park. I think he's someone that will be usable for sure. What about Josh Lowe in Tampa Bay? We talked about him a lot in preseason, and then when he was going to make the team, we talked about him a bunch when he was actually getting drafted, got sent down, was striking out a ton. As backup, still striking out a ton. He was available in 80% of 12 teamers. So there's a lot of leagues he was available in this week. Now he got called up on, I think it was last Monday, he got called back up. Were you in on any Josh Lowe? Do you think he could turn it around? How do you feel about him right now? I mean, he's still striking out a ton.
I snagged him last week in Scarf.
Nice. That's a 15 teamers. That's pretty good.
Yeah. On the premise that, you know, they were going to call him up on that Monday. I had a roster spot. Actually, I had copious roster spots to fill. But, yeah, I mean, he did steal a base on Friday night. He's definitely still striking out a lot. But he is playing. He's playing every day.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as we're looking at, especially in a 15-teamer, that's key. All the injuries has pretty much cleared away for him to play every day. Obviously, a ton of talent. He stole a base, I think it was yesterday, but I don't know. It kind of all comes out of the strikeouts for me. He's going to strike out 38% of the time. It's not going to work. You know, he gets that down to in the 20s somewhere. I think that the talent's going to come through at some point. It's just a matter of if they stick with him until it does.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't clear the decks for him. The decks got cleared against their will, but you know, out for a long time.
Yeah, he went the 60-day IL, so he's gone long term. Kiermaier, if he comes back, who knows how long he stays healthy, but they're gonna have there's pretty much no way they're gonna have to give him a run, right?
Yeah, I think so, but you know, they'll have someone else they'll dig up. You know, they'll find another prospect if Lowe continues to struggle. I don't think they're going to make a big name trade. They, you know, I think that the Astros might, because the Astros actually were pretty quiet this offseason. I mean, they re-signed Verlander. That was their big spend.
Yep.
But they didn't. I mean, they lost Correa. Yep. They replaced Correa internally. But I actually think they need to go trade for a catcher that can actually hit. So I think
Maldonado's rough at the plate. It's pretty much an empty at bat every time through.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a machete to your offense.
Yeah, catcher and center fielder, I suppose, right?
Yeah. So, but that
I was gonna say Ramon Laureano, but I think the history between those two teams might make that one not workable.
Oh my God! But you know what? I mean, the Yankees traded for Josh Donaldson. It can happen.
Yeah. Although I think Alex Cintron's still on the Astros staff, so that might be a tough sell.
That worked out so well, by the way, with Josh Donaldson. But no, actually, you never know. It still could.
Even when he's healthy, he's not hitting well, which is surprising to me. I thought he'd get hurt. I think there'd be issues like that, but he hasn't hit either.
No, and he's not. He's playing less than he was before.
Yep.
I mean, why should Gleyber Torres sit in his favor? I mean,
been better so far. Really shouldn't. Catcher's always hard to find. Jorge Alfaro, I can say it. 67% rostered in 12 teams available in a lot of leagues. Has been really good for San Diego. I'm kind of splitting time with Austin Nola, but 6 home runs, hit .287, 11% barrel rate. This is someone that had some pop in the past. He had 18 home runs with the Marlins in 2019, 10 home runs, only 108 games in 2018 with the Phillies. You know, if you need catchers, it's rough out there. I think Alfaro, I also kind of like and Max Stassi, I saw he got dropped in some leagues. He's been struggling too. He's probably a pretty decent ad to kind of maybe turn it around and get hot a little bit. But catcher's hard to find. But I think if Alfaro's available in your league, I'm going grabbing that right now. He's on a heater.
Hit third today. Now Machado is out, but still third.
That's a good sign right there. And he's had some big hits for them. So I do like that ad.
Yeah.
We mentioned stars are hard to find, but let's talk about some pitching in Fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at Blue Wire.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We appreciate all our sponsors as always there. Jeff, starting pitching is impossible right now. I keep looking for guys to start, to play, to add, to stash, whatever it may be. I'm having trouble every week. First guy I looked at was in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. Andrew Heaney went back on the IL this week.
Yeah.
Mitch White is taking his spot. Are you in on a Mitch White? But the guy that's someone that was pretty darn good in the minor leagues last year, was decent when he got called up with the Dodgers last year, 46 innings, ERA under 3.7. You know, he's a Dodger pitcher, good offense behind him. It always seems like they kind of make guys work.
Yeah, absolutely. He was on our list. I don't think we got him, but we were attempting to get him. Interesting. He's going to avoid Coors Field, though. He gets the home start against the Padres instead. Yep. So lucky you if you have Tyler Anderson, Clayton Kershaw, or Julio Urias. You drew the Coors lottery again. But
Are you starting Anderson, Urias, and Kershaw this week if you're in a fantasy league? Anderson going to pitch twice at Colorado home San Diego. So is Kershaw. Urias for one.
You're starting Kershaw. I mean, we know what happened last time he was in Coors Field, so you've got to start him. Urias is pitching very well now. Remember when we were freaking out about Urias?
Yeah, I'm freaking out less. I'm starting him this week.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, yeah, I don't like it, because especially because it's the third day in Coors Field, so it's usually everyone's acclimated again. But
What about Tyler Anderson, though? At Colorado, home San Diego, finally had a hiccup start. I think he did last week. Gave 4 runs on 5 hits and a walk over 5 innings, so not too bad. A little bit of a hiccup, but that's 2 starts out of 3 now. He's given up 4 runs. One of them was 3 innings, one of them was 5. Between that, he had a really good start against the Angels. Are you starting him with that 2 starts, with the thought that Machado's maybe back for that late last week, but maybe not?
Yeah, I don't know what the Padres are doing with Machado, by the way.
They just should have IL'd him like the second he hurt his ankle, right? Right. He'd be back like next Wednesday or this Wednesday coming up, and we'd be fine.
Yeah.
Now they can only backdate it 3 days. They kind of put themselves in a tough predicament now.
Yeah, they're in a bind. They're definitely in a bind. I'm probably starting Anderson. I'm not happy about it. I think that it's a question of alternatives. I think at a 15, I'm starting him, and at 12, I'll probably have to think about it a little bit harder, but I gotta wonder what your alternatives are. I mean, yeah, I think that's the question.
In a 15, I saw someone commenting on Twitter that they were surprised that Jose Barrios was started so much in a 2-start week, but like in a 15 teamer, like if you can't start Barrios for 2, like you must have the world's greatest rotation of all time. I know he's been bad, but I mean, I think 15 teamer, it's just so thin. It's hard to set something like that.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I wasn't fearing Milwaukee and a White Sox lineup that didn't have everybody.
Yeah. Missing a lot of guys too. That's
now, I don't have them anywhere. So,
right.
Yeah. I didn't have to make that decision. So I never really gave it a whole lot of thought, but.
And I do, we'll get it. We will talk about Barrios at the end here. I do want to talk about him.
Let's just talk about him now. We brought him up already.
What the heck do you do going forward? We mentioned that, you know, you had to start him this week with the 2 starts. It's insane. It's now a 5.86 ERA in 15 starts, 78 and a third. The strikeout rate is way down. It's down under 20%. He's at like 7.35 Ks per 9. Walk rate's fine, same as it was last year, but home runs are up. BABIP is not horrible. It's 296. It's not like it's like, oh, he's a 400 BABIP or something like that. It's just bad. Like his xERA is 6.21. It's actually higher than his regular ERA. It's just, I don't know what you do him. He's just been legit really hittable and bad. And this is someone that was good for the Jays after they traded for him in the second half of the year last year. Really stepped up. People loved him we've loved him like 10 times now as a step up guy. And here comes the next step. And it never comes, but I don't think we saw anything quite this bad. He's always pretty consistently good without being great. I think he's frustrating, but you know, the ERA is usually high 3s. Right now we're talking high 5s.
Yeah, exactly. The velocity was down against the White Sox. I'm trying to look it up while we're talking about where it was today against the Brewers, but it was definitely down on his fastball. It was like sitting at like 92 something as opposed to his usual 94. So that's disturbing. All in all, it was a disaster start. And those are the things it's just a killer there.
It had 8 runs and 2 innings, I think, or something like that. It was, I mean, that's whew.
Average velocity was 94.2 today. So that wasn't a problem today, but just everything.
The problem was the velocity coming out the other way, right?
Yeah. His CSW is about 20%. Nothing special there. Ugh. He got more swings and misses. Not much more, actually. He only got 4 swings and misses today, so that's pretty darn bad out of 33 swings.
So next week, Barrios gets home against Tampa Bay. Are you cutting him? Are you starting him in that start? Are you benching him for a week and see what happens? Where are you in a – let's just call it a 15-teamer to stay consistent with the question here.
This is me striking my – eating popcorn GIF pose here right now.
Right?
I'm watching to see what everybody else does is what I'm doing. To give you, I have, but it's our job to give you advice.
I'm starting it.
I think. Okay. I think I'm holding. I'm not sure about the starting again alternatives, but home start against the Rays. Rays aren't hitting well right now. Yep. Yeah. I think that makes sense, but I want to know though. I mean, this is 2 starts in a row. He's not even getting any swings and misses. That's the thing that really bothers me.
His next two starts are home Tampa and at Oakland. I'm starting those two starts. And that point, if he's been bad those next two starts, I'm thinking about probably benching and maybe even cutting at that point. But I want to throw Tampa and Oakland and then see where we're at 2 weeks after that. And then I'll make my decision, say, at the All-Star break. But at that point, he can't pitch well against Tampa and Oakland, I think he's a drop at that point.
I'd agree with that. I think by then we'll have more information too.
Yeah. Other starters, any interest in Josh Winkowski or Dean Kramer? Winkowski with the Red Sox pitched well this week. Dean Kramer, ERA under 2, pitching really well for Baltimore. Did you anything with these two AL East arms?
I didn't know that Dean Kramer had an ERA under 2 until I saw a friend of the podcast, Vlad Sedler, say he's a Dean Kramer guy this week. So
do you think he might be in after the Dean Kramer goodness?
He might be. Yeah. He did well against the White Sox. Man, yeah. Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Cleveland. Cleveland got him 3-4 1/3, so that's not so great. Who is he get? He gets
at Seattle and then home Texas, home Angels. So it's a schedule play by Vlad and anybody else who picked him up too.
Yeah, I mean we gotta keep reminding ourselves that, you know, all of a sudden Camden Yards is a pitcher's ballpark.
Yep.
Not as much as it was in April, obviously, but.
And outside of Trout and Otani, I don't think the Angels scare you too much right now. And, you know, Texas is obviously workable at Seattle. You know, who knows there? Who knows who's going to be eligible to play and not to be suspended? But
true.
I don't know. I'm just always wary of people that don't strike guys out. You know, you're just so reliant on those ratios that it's a little concerning there. His xERA is 4.33, but his FIP is 3.26. So, you know, a little bit there.
What
so
about his xFIP? What about – no, I'm just kidding.
xFIP's not good, actually. I just saw that. Has a high left on base rate, so he's been straining. So you guys getting a little lucky there. Yeah, I'm not in on this one, but maybe I'm just missing the boat here. But the matchups are pretty good. I was not in the Dean Kramer business, so we'll see. Vlad is usually right more often than I am, so we'll see how this one works out.
Yeah.
What about Josh Winkowski in White Sox land? He's been pitching pretty well. Also, he has a 3.6 ERA in across 4 starts. But again, another guy who doesn't strike guys out, 15% strikeout rate so far, 8.1% strike rate, but had big strikeout rates numbers in the minors. It was the one thing that did pop out to me a little bit. He was 26% in AAA this year, 29% in AAA last year, 20% in AA last year. So a little bit of strikeout history in the minors, but I think that the lack of strikeouts so far kind of pulled me off making bids there too.
So if you used him this past week, it was one of those cat burglar streams. You got 2 wins. Say thank you for your service and move on.
That's a good call and something that people need to learn how to do. If you get those 2 wins, sometimes it's good to do.
Yeah, he does get the Cubs and Adrian Sampson on Friday at Chicago. Start against the Rays the following week. Okay, great. Rays. Shane McClanahan's projected opposing starter that day. So
hope for ratios and no win in that situation. Yeah. But yeah.
Although. Looking at matchups a week and a half out when things change so much is probably foolhardy, but yeah.
Anybody else you found yourself looking at in starters? I think last week we talked about both Luis Patino and Nick Lodolo. Lodolo is going to make one more rehab start. Patino might start this weekend at Toronto. I don't want no part of that, but I like to see him out there and see kind of how they use him. I picked him up last week. I'm holding him. I kind of want to see if he can pitch 4 innings or maybe they're going to use him as a 2 inning guy that maybe they can drop him. But I'm really excited for Lodolo. Pitching well in his rehab outing. I know you're obviously a Reds fan. You like that. But he's making one more rehab start, so can't use him this week. But I think next week he might get 2 starts. Home, which is not great if you're a Reds pitcher, but the Mets and Tampa, one tough one there, maybe one less tough one. But he's a guy with actual real upside that I'm holding on to with the thought that it's hard to find pitching as it is, so I'm going to hold on to him for a couple weeks and maybe get a good pitcher out of this.
Yeah. I'm seeing in one of my main events that I missed something here. I missed a step. Max Meyer was drafted and dropped in our league.
Oh, wow.
And someone picked him up this week. I didn't even notice he was available. So shame on me. Mitch White was like their target. That was the guy we were hoping to get. We got outbid on him. But Kyle Hendricks was actually dropped and picked up in this league. Kyle Hendricks will do the exact opposite of what you think he will do every time.
Every freaking time.
Yeah, so
if you sit him, you know it's a gem, and if you start him, it's just I want no part of that.
Pitched a gem on Friday night against the Cardinals.
Of course he did.
In St. Louis.
Do you have any sort of feeling that Meyer's coming up soon? Obviously, when he gets called up, he'd be a fab bonanza of action there. But
Except for in this league. Obviously.
Yeah, except for in your league, obviously. He's thrown 43 innings in the minors. Obviously, he got hurt and then he's come back. Obviously, a super high-level guy. He was really, really good in 2021 in the minors. He pitched about 111 innings. Obviously, one of the best pitching prospects. Do you have a feeling he's coming up soon? Is there any sort of – I know there's some rumors about that, Miami. But they're getting Edward Cabrera back next week also. But, you know, Castano's not very good. They could replace him. There's definitely some spots where he could slide into.
Yeah. The reviews have been rave. So, yes. I want him. You know, I think sometimes, especially, I believe it or not, I trust the Marlins when it comes to when they promote their pitchers. They seem to do pretty well with that.
How rostered is Meyer? Is he rostered in most leagues? How is that?
That's a good question.
No, I can't. I don't think I can look because he's not available in my main event, so I can't even see him in the roster pool.
All right, well, let's pull him up here. I'm trying to look on the player page if it shows that.
If you if you go to free agents, you can click owner status, and it shows everybody that's rostered also.
Okay.
I can't look at him either spot because he's not rostered in either of my leagues.
Yeah. It says Noah is a free agent, so let me try looking.
You go. So in that free agent dropdown, there's if you hit the dropdown, that right above free agents, it says owner status, and you can see everybody that's
rostered. All right, so 17% rostered in the main. Oh, wow.
All right, so he's not taken that. He's not drafted and dropped or drafted and held in that many leagues.
Yeah, 0% in the 12s. Now, I don't know if that's before or after tonight is the question.
Either way, I guess they could have been drafted and dropped.
I'm sorry, that wasn't the 12s. That was start percentage.
Oh, it started, yeah.
Idiot.
I'm guessing he's pretty close to, you know, single percentage there also, so that's going to be that's going to be a gigantic fab when he gets called up, because that's 83% of the main events he's available, close to 100% of the online. That's going to be if you saved your money, that might be the week right there.
Yeah. 3% rostered in the 12s. So right, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. How big will you go at? You don't have to give me an exact number, but are you going to be aggressive?
Yeah. In my two main events, I have one that needs pitching and one that needs hitting. The one that he's pitching, I probably emptied out pretty good for that, just because it's probably the last big name. And my offense is so good that I'm not really worried about having to fab much offense the rest of the way. Obviously, that could change. But I have a ton of home runs in that league. I have pretty good depth. So I think I'd be pretty darn aggressive about it.
Yeah.
Someone is asking, since the other name we had to talk about, we were talking about Brios, we're going to talk about Lucas Giolito. So let's talk about him now, since someone asked a question about him. Jeff, what do you do with Lucas Giolito? Been really rough the last four or five starts. He has two starts this week. He is, I'm looking here, he is at the Angels, then at the Giants. So he's got a road two-step. ERA is 5.4 on the year. Strikeouts are similar to last year. Obviously down from the 2019-2020 dominance, but similar to last year, 27%. Walks are a little bit up. Swing strike rate is still 13%. A ton of home runs has been his big bugaboo so far this year, 2.13 per nine. A lot of hard hit balls, 12.5% barrel rate. He's among the leaders there, 47% hard hit rate. So a lot of hard contact. If I have Lucas Giolito in a 12, a 15, or a 10, I am starting him without question this week.
100%.
Okay.
For more on Giolito, make sure to check out Thursday's podcast with Chris Welsh on. We spent a good amount of time on him. But
what was the consensus in your discussion with him?
High low. Try to trade for him because he could be a huge difference maker. Location is off, especially on his breaking pitches. Similar to Trevor Rogers, except his stuff is better. I mean, 76 Ks in 63 innings. So. Yeah. He's doing some things right.
Yeah, I mean, his K rate's the exact same as last year. It's not usually we see guys, we're looking at Barrios, that kind of thing. Like the K rate's dropped way off. I just no way if I have my team that I'm a starter. If he gets blown up twice this week, maybe we'll think about it, but there's no way I'm sitting in for two starts.
Yeah, I tend to agree. One of them being in a pitcher's park in San Francisco. The other, actually, Anaheim is slightly favored towards pitchers too. So, and it,
oh, by the way, Ohtani's unbelievable.
He is ridiculous.
He had an 8 RBI game this week and then struck out 13 guys pitching the next night.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how insane of a – like, there's never been anybody that's done that. It's remarkable. It's historic. It's remarkable. It's just – it's so fun to watch.
Yep.
I think you start Giolito. You drafted him. I don't think you can sit him for two. Let's get through this week. If it's rough this week, then maybe we have that discussion. But I'm a full start on Giolito this week, and I think he's going to pitch well, actually.
Yep.
Bullpens in Fab, Jeff, continue to be very, very meager. I have an online championship where all I need is saves to be really, really good. I'm like in the top 80 or something like that, maybe top 90. I haven't looked today, but and I only have one closer, and I've never in a 12-team where I cannot even find a closer to bid on. It's been rough. It's been like 6 weeks of no real interesting guys to draft. The A's, we talked about Danny Jimenez last week. You guys picked him up, and then he got hurt, like 4 hours later. They don't really have a clear situation. They used Zach Jackson earlier in the week. They used AJ Puck to come in, try and save Zach Jackson. Zach Jackson, AJ Puck combined for a blown save without giving up a hit, which was really
typical. Hard to do.
It was impressive A's fashion. Right after Frankie Montas is almost throwing a no-hitter, they went walk, wild pitch to lose the game, which was a fun thing to watch. But Lou Trevino, the ghost of Lou Trevino.
Smoking Lou Trevino, yeah.
A two-inning save yesterday, a one-inning save today. They gave up a leadoff double to Carlos Santana, but got it done. I guess he's back in the role, but holy hell, I don't know if you want to go with this. ERA is 7.5. His whip is 2 on the year, which is just hard to deal with. But striking out a ton of guys, 32% strikeout rate. Walk rate's always an issue for him. It is under 10%. Swing strike rate's 13.5%, which is higher than it was the last couple of years. I guess if you're desperate for saves, Trina would be the name I'd add here. But I'm desperate for saves in spots, and I wasn't even that aggressive about him. I just don't trust it. Maybe they let him run with it for a couple of weeks and try and trade him, but they win so few games too. I don't know if it's even worth the stab here.
Yeah. I was trying to drop him a couple of weeks ago and I kept on not dropping him. And I think it was Scarf. Now I have him still. So yay. I got.
Yeah. ERA 7.52. FIP is 2.87. So if you're looking for some underlying metrics there, maybe that'll help you out. But his BABIP's 500 of the year. That's not great. Hopefully that's going to come down. But for me, with Trevino, it's just the walks. If he can figure that out, I think he can be sort of effective. But until he stops walking, guys, it's hard for me to trust him closing games, especially for a bad team that ain't going to get many save ops. You better be good when you get him.
In the same vein, let's see if you can name this guy that we just picked up in a league.
Oh, fantastic.
This guy has 2 saves in the last 2 weeks. Starting on June 13th, from June 8th to now, he's lowered his ERA from 6.53 to 5.11 and his WHIP from 194 to 174. So really just crushing it now. Manager's quote, X is definitely somebody that likes closing games. He thrives on it. In some ways, I think the bigger the situation, the better pitcher he's going to be. It may not always be the ninth, but I'm definitely aware of that and works in his favor to keep getting those opportunities. Who is this fool's gold pitcher? And what team are we talking about?
The way you brought it up, it's got to be Hunter Strickland.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely Hunter Strickland. And
so suddenly you think that the Reds have a closer.
No, I don't really think that. Shu talked me into adding him, though. And
I mean, if nothing else, he's a really good team clubhouse guy. So you guys get some good clubhouse, some good vibes there, and that'll work well.
Do they face the Angels or Mariners anytime soon? We can see if we can get another brawl going.
I hope so. Unfortunately, they can't face the Phillies because Bryce Harper's out because that's his nemesis right there. But
that's true.
I mean, I looked at him too. And again, desperate for saves. I looked at him. I looked at Trevino. I don't trust David Bell to not go with someone completely different the next time. But I guess that quote is not horrible. I guess if I'm looking for a silver lining there.
It's a pretty bad. It's a pretty dumb quote.
Dumb quote, but it's like a quote. Like maybe we get to the ninth thing. Maybe they're going to use him again because how he likes to make situations.
Yeah. So not this week, but the following week, the Reds have this like silly schedule. They go 3 home games against the Mets, a doubleheader on Thursday at home against the Pirates, and then the Rays come to town. So a 1-day 2-game series against the Pirates.
Have you seen Have you seen the Yankees schedule this week?
I have not. I'm going to go look at it.
Three home games in New York.
Okay.
1 game at Houston. 3 games at Cleveland. Like, that's not even – I mean, I'm not –
that's not a makeup either because Houston has a roof. So
– no, I think it's a week one makeup from the lockout.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Makeup from the lockout, but not a makeup from a rainout. Schedule.
I'm not a geography major, but those aren't close.
Who else had a – there was a game like that.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I forget but
Minnesota, I think, had a weird one like that. But yeah.
If you're New York, like this, it sucks because New York Houston, we talked about, is a great series. If New York, you just tank that game? Do you go like NBA and send like half your guys and just don't send Judge? That's what I would do. You're 100 wins already. Like you're 35 games over 500, whatever it is. What are they? 53 and 21, whatever it is. I'm going spring training variety there. I'm sending like three starters and that's it.
It's Verlander versus Severino though.
I hope it's not Severino. I know that that's lined up that way. I'm hoping that Montgomery got moved to Monday. So I'm hoping Severino pitches against Oakland on Wednesday. They go Montgomery tie on Severino, but I don't know. But,
yeah,
I tank that game if I'm the Yankees. There's no way I'm sending my starters all the way down there just to fly back to Cleveland the next time.
It is kind of it's a really dumb schedule again.
And I know we make fun of the NBA for like the tanking games and stuff, but like that situation right there, like I just don't care about that game if I'm New York.
Heck of a job, baseball. Way to go! Right?
You take a Yankees Astros game and you might turn it into just a farce of a game. It's just, yep. It's not even close. Like I guess they don't have a choice. There's not that many open days, but, and the crazy thing is the Astros are in New York this week. They obviously played the Yankees, but they played the Mets Tuesday, Wednesday, but at least on Friday, they're home again. So they fly home and then they stay home, but playing one game there and flying back to Cleveland. I mean, that's not even close. That's not close to Texas either.
Yeah. Astros get a free night in New York, by the way. They, you know, four game series against the Yankees off on Monday stay in New York and play two more games.
Might be some flu-like symptoms on Tuesday against the Mets.
It might be a fun time.
Oh, to be super rich with a day off in New York. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
We talked about the starting pitchers I wanted to talk about already. We kind of mixed those in with Berríos and Giolito. So let's talk about some of the news and notes real quick here. There's a lot of injuries, Jeff. They all suck. But Brandon Woodruff, some good news. He is pitching on Tuesday. He pitched five innings, I think 74 pitches in his last rehab outing. He's at Tampa Bay, at Pittsburgh this week. I think he's a off the IL into your lineup this week, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. I've got him in yogurt. Happy to have him back. I've got him in labor too. And no, I don't have him in yogurt. I have Burns. That's right. It's labor that I have him back, which it's good. Now I only have 13 guys on the IL. So that's good.
A small difference between Burns and Woodruff so far this year.
Just a little bit.
Chris Bryant is actually alive and well, coming back this week, playing, especially going to be back Monday. They do face the Dodgers, but it's in Coors Field. Jeff, are you starting Chris Bryant for the first half of this week? He gets Tyler Anderson, Clayton Kershaw, Julio Urias, three lefties all in a row at Coors Field. I think you got to do it, right?
It's no brainer. Of course you are.
Yeah. Ronald Acuna Jr. He was on the broadcast today. I don't know if you watched the game at all. No. I don't watch the ESPN2 broadcast usually, but I saw the ESPN1 broadcast noted that he was on there with I think it's Michael Kay and A-Rod, whatever it may be. No fracture in his foot, but he said today he couldn't put any weight on it. He was scootering around the locker room, apparently. Anytime someone jumps on a scooter and they can't put weight in their foot, I kind of have worries that might turn into an IL stint.
Yeah. Yeah. The can't put weight on part is the fun part there. Yeah.
Yeah. He fouled a ball off his foot yesterday. So that was where the injury came from. They did have x-rays, no fracture. He hopes to be cleared to play within the next couple days. I think he's kind of one of those probably sit the first half of the week in an NFBC type of league and play on the weekend is kind of how I feel. They don't play tomorrow. So maybe hopefully if you have two guys that don't play tomorrow, you can kind of see a lineup on Tuesday. They're at Philadelphia Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So obviously you want to get them in, but if you got to sit them tomorrow, I'm probably sitting them for the first half of the week. You mentioned Michael Brantley removed Sunday with right shoulder discomfort. Obviously check your Astros lineups. They don't play tomorrow either, but deciding on that one before you put him in. Jacob DeGrom, speaking of the New York Mets, threw 20 pitches in a live BP session on Saturday. Some good news there, but obviously he's still a long ways off.
Yeah, he is. So that's unfortunate, but at least he's making progress. As opposed to like some of these other, some of these names on the list, it gets frustrating.
If you have DeGrom in a league, what is your date you're hoping for? Like, I hope he's pitching on this day and I feel okay about it.
First weekend after the All-Star break.
Yeah. So like July 20th or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The All-Star break's like a week later this year, right? I think it's like the 18th, 19th, something like that.
I think, I can tell you because I'm going on my golf trip on the 13th through 16th. So the Vegas trip is 13th through 17th. So Vegas is 18 through 20, so 21st, 22nd, it'd be 22nd is probably a projected return date.
So you're doing a lot of work and a lot of hard work in those 8 days right there.
Yeah, yeah, for the people.
Can I ask where your golf trip is this year?
North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Pinehurst area, but not Pinehurst.
Okay. Nice. There's a lot of awesome courses out there, though. That's nice. Since we're talking injuries, somebody in the chat asked, who would you replace Salvador Perez with? Tough question to answer without knowing league size or all that kind of thing. In a deeper league, Max Stassi or Jorge Alfaro are probably my bets. In a shallower league, I'd probably have to know the names available, but maybe a Christian Bethencourt with Oakland has been hitting the ball pretty hard. He struggled a bit this week and the week before, but he's playing a lot, hitting the middle lineup. Those are three names. Danny Jansen's coming back soon. If you could wait for him, maybe Gabriel Montero has been hitting pretty well, not playing a ton for Toronto, but there's three or four names out there that probably won't kill you catching. Jose Trevino in New York's been pretty decent. Austin Nola hit well this week. So there's some names out there. If you have a, you can pick up Elias Diaz. The Rockies are home all week this week. I think six games of core is always a good thing. If you pick up Diaz, he had a pretty good week this week. Maybe he can ride the hot streak a little farther.
Yep.
Those are all the catchers I know, Jeff, right there. Some good news. We have Eddie Rosario, who had the eye injury. He started a rehab assignment on Saturday, so maybe we're talking. I probably need some extended time in rehab, but maybe we're talking a week or a little bit more until we get Rosario back in lineups here. Colton Wong expected to return on Tuesday. Some good news there. On the flip side, some bad news. Some kind of other minor names that went on the IL. Ty France was having a really good year for Seattle. When the aisle, he got kind of his arm extended, kind of like a Max Muncy play. That's when he hurt his arm. He got they were playing the A's, and he reached into the baseline and got hurt there. So that was not good. He has a flexor strain in his left forearm. Brandon Crawford went in the aisle, and only for the second time in his whole career. Hunter Renfroe went in the aisle this weekend, and Daniel Hudson tore his ACL out for the year. Probably not a huge thing for fantasy leagues, although he was pretty darn good, but a pretty big loss for the Dodgers.
Yeah, just one less guy available for them. And yeah, obviously, he was pitching very well. He was the guy that they would turn to whenever Kimbrel was unavailable.
Yeah.
Now Gratterall's really got to step up. And Gratterall got the save tonight because it was extra inning game, though. It wasn't because Kimbrel
throwing 103 out there, too.
Yeah. It's just he's always done that, though.
Is it just me or every time Craig Kimbrel comes in, I don't really feel like he's going to dominate?
It's not just you.
It's a weird, uneasy feeling of you just don't feel great when he comes in. I know the ERA is a little elevated at 4.3, but the WHIP's 1.5. The walk rate's over 10%, which is always, when he has bad years, it's the walks that are the problem. But
yeah,
it just doesn't feel, you have that feel when a closer comes in, you're like, ah, oh, this game's over. It has the opposite feel with Kimbrel. And he's, he still has what he has, 13 saves. But I don't feel good, and I wouldn't feel good about him in a playoff game right now if I'm a Dodger fan.
Yeah, and losing Hudson, that's why losing Hudson's so much bigger there too. Yeah.
It fully is. Tyler Stevenson on our Reds could go on a rehab assignment in about a week. I think he's probably going to be a mid-July kind of back in the majors thing. If you have a league where you could stash him, or maybe you have a spot you don't know what to do with, I think Stevenson's a sneaky ad right now, maybe a couple weeks early, because catchers are tough to find.
Sure. Anthony Gialdi just did give another option there at catcher. Nick Fortes, who hit the walk-off homer for the Marlins today, might be another option too.
Yeah, Fortes has he's hitting 289 with three home runs, a couple steals in only 44 plate appearances. It's not bad at all.
No.
Jeff, anybody else you want to talk about? I feel like we could talk about Dansby Swanson again, but I let you dance too much about him last week. But another good week for Swanson. He's been awesome for you. Alejandro Kirk, I had to talk about, but I mean that guy's dude, unbelievable. Like talk about a catcher that's worked. It's frustrating because he was someone I really wanted to get in drafts. He got jumped in both my main events, and I think he was a popular guy that got jumped in a lot of leagues. But he's at 322 with 10 home runs right now. He's been a huge difference maker if you have him at catcher.
Yeah, when Rob Silver talks, people listen.
That is usually true. He tends to unearth some guys that are pretty darn good. But anybody else you want to talk about? Anything else on your mind before we jump out of here for the week?
No, I got to figure out what trade I'm going to make in XFL to replace Perez. So I'll let you know about that next week, and we'll figure that out. But no, good stuff there. We do have a last question here. What do you think of Graham Ashcraft for the rest of the season?
You're the Reds fan. I'm leaving that question for you.
So throws harder than people realize because the strikeouts haven't necessarily matched the velocity. Had a pretty good start on Friday night against the Giants. Was a little rough prior to that. I think there's a learning curve for him right now. He wasn't like on the same plane of prospect as Hunter Green. Doesn't necessarily mean he's less suited to success now. He might have a lower ultimate ceiling. I'd like to see his secondary pitches improve a little bit so he can improve that strikeout rate. I think he'll be learning on the job too. So kind of he's okay, but I think he's going to be tough to rely on, especially when the team context is so bad.
Someone also asked, Anthony Giraldi asked, how much longer for Eloy Jimenez? I don't know. It seems like he just, I mean, they moved him to the 60 aisle, with a strictly kind of a procedural move. He went in the aisle on April 23rd, so it doesn't really affect anything. It's just freeing up a spot on the 40 man when they called up Lennon Sosa. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he went on a rehab assignment. He got I think he had 8 at bats and something like that. And he paused for 2 weeks. Then he comes back. He's come back and he's had a couple of games. I assume as long as he comes along in rehab, he should be maybe another. You can't imagine more than another 5 or 6 days down there. They're gonna want to get he's gonna get at bats. Might as well get him in the White Sox lineup. I would say maybe another week, something like that would be my guess. But maybe a little bit less than that. But I'm guessing, and with Eloy, it's been tough to guess.
I mean, he's played the last 5 days, so that's good.
That is really good. So I guess it could be. I mean, it could even
could be this week.
Yeah. I certainly would hold on to him, and I just watched the news on that. But as soon as he gets in there, obviously you're going to want to start him. I assume you guys held him in the main event, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I
think that's also our Harper team, so maybe it'll be a one for one replacement.
At least that could work out pretty nicely. Someone finally asked about the catcher question. I would go Alfaro before Austin Nola, just for the power, if I had to pick between the two.
All right.
Other than that, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks for all the questions in the chat. Thanks, everybody, for watching, whether it be live here or listening on the audio version that will be up here in a few minutes. We always appreciate that. If you can, again, please rate or review the podcast. It helps us a lot. Also, for Jeff, I am Scott Jensen. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Scott Jensen. Jeff is at Jeff_Erickson. We both are usually on there talking some sports, talking some baseball, so hit us up on there. Other than that, I hope everybody has a good fantasy week. Take care. We'll back at you next Sunday night. Have a good one.